Patrick, I apologize that I didn't get to put any of the scriptures into the system, but I'll try to give you a head start this morning. Or you guys can have your Bibles ready, because we're going to be going through a few of them this morning. Today I'm pretty excited because I'm getting to talk about the superhero of the Bible. We've been going through a series. For those of you that haven't been with us this summer, we've been doing a lot of superheroes in the Bible, superheroes of the faith, being Noah and Ruth and Naomi, Boaz, and we've covered all these different heroes of the faith until we got up to last week, whenever we looked at our adversary of the faith, Satan himself, Lucifer, the fallen angel from heaven. So this week is going to conclude this series, and I get to talk about Jesus. So I'm pretty excited about that. But first, what I wanted to do before I get into Jesus being a hero is kind of define what a hero is. So I looked up the definition on that, and a hero defined as a person of distinguished courage or ability, admired for their brave deeds and noble qualities, a person who has heroic qualities, or who has performed a heroic act and is regarded as a model or ideal. So to me, a superhero is someone that actually goes above and beyond what a hero goes to, and doesn't fall into that same category. A superhero is going to go beyond that, and the dictionary doesn't define it that way. And I wish that at the beginning I had actually looked at how a superhero was defined, because they're defined as a mythical creature or character, and I don't believe that Jesus is by any means mythical. I believe there's proof in his word, and also outside of his word, that he was a real man that really lived and died on the cross, and then he rose again. So I wish that I hadn't called this the superhero series, but I did, and I'm gonna own that this morning. So, what comes to mind whenever you guys think of a superhero? Name some superheroes. Huh? Superman. Who else? Patrick. What? You say a fireman? Iron Man. Iron Man's a good one. Who else? Batman. Yeah, who? Captain Marvel, who? Wolverine, yeah, that's a good one. What else? Come on, superheroes. That was not a superhero. Kidding. Wonder Woman, you know, there was a variety of different superheroes. But whenever I think of superheroes or people that went above and beyond, the example that I think of in an example of a superhero in faith would be someone that I knew, not someone that I've read about, but my grandmother that passed away this last December would definitely be one that went above and beyond what she should do. This lady used to drive me insane whenever I was a kid, because she would send us cards every year for our birthdays and for Christmas and things like that, and there would be like $1 bill in there, or $2, and then my other grandparents would buy us like bikes and all these cool things. But this grandmother would send us like a buck or two. And then she would start out the card and she would write, you know, "Happy birthday, Jamie," which isn't my name. That's just what she called me, because everybody did until I was about six. And then she'd say, "Happy birthday, Jamie." And then it would start into just scripture references all down that one. And then down the other side of the card, writing around the happy birthday in the picture, there'd be scriptures and all these things. And then there'd be two more pages like this of more scriptures. And at the time, it was like, oh, why can't she just say happy birthday? But as I grew older and as I got to spend more time with my grandmother, Mama, she spent her time praying for her kids. She spent her time praying for her grandkids. She spent time in His Word. Whenever she passed away last December, she had probably no less than 15 Bibles, and many of them had notes scribbled in the margins all the way down it, and we know that she was praying for us. And then my mother told me that as she did with the cards, she also had like all these notebooks that were filled with all kinds of notes and prayers for her kids and grandkids and people at her church and in her community. So my grandmother went like above and beyond to pray for people and grow her relationship close to Jesus. And then I don't know, it was probably been 2 or 3 years ago, BJ and I got the opportunity to go out there and lead worship at their church. And man, it was just awesome to see her and my grandfather, who passed away not too long after that, about a year before her, got to go in there and see them just, you know, raising up their hands, and they were praising God in worship and having a great time there at the night of worship that we did at their church. So I love my grandmother and still continue to love her, and I can't wait to see her again in heaven. But she was definitely a hero of the faith until the moment that the something that I learned the day after she passed away. What she was doing is they had some issues with some neighbors of theirs trying to take some property and all this, you know, drama stuff. But on Christmas Day, my grandmother had made something. I don't know if it was cookies or what it was, and she had carried that down to them and an offering of just forgiving them for all the things that was happening and trying to move forward in their relationship. So she was like Christ all the way up until the last moment. Then she was driving up to do something with my my aunt, my uncle, and she passed away in their driveway. They heard the horn blowing when she was there. But until the last moment, my grandmother was out trying to do what Jesus called her to do. So she is definitely one of my heroes of the faith that I know personally. So I want to acknowledge right up front that we are not going to be like Jesus as a superhero by any means, because the task is far beyond what we can ever get to. Jesus like blows away the standards of all these different heroes that we talked about. The things that I've listed that make him a hero to me is like more than what we could ever do ourselves. But I do want to encourage you guys that there's been a lot of other people that have tried to reach the standards of Jesus but have been unable to. Even David says in Psalm 145:3, pause for Patrick. It doesn't really say that. I'm just throwing that in there. But it says, King David said, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." So even the apple of God's eye could not fathom God. They couldn't understand how great he really is. But today what I've done is I've listed 10 different things that make Jesus a superhero and my superhero in the Bible, and why I believe that he's the superhero and the one that is over all the rest of these heroes of the faith that we've talked about all summer. So number one, you guys will probably have some other reasons also. This is just my top 10. Jesus has lived forever and will live forever. So he's one with God. And in John 8:58, it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." So even John, the Apostle John, says that Jesus said the words that even before you guys, even before Abraham, I was. So that says that he was before all of that stuff. And John 1:1 says that he was the Word and that he was there from the very beginning of everything. So Jesus has always existed. And because of him, we are able, if we believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're able to, we have a beginning, but we're going to have no end. We'll get to live forever. And I think that's pretty encouraging, and that's a good reason to be a superhero, right? Good. So, one, Jesus has lived forever and will live forever. No superhero has done that before except for Jesus. Number two, he was humble beyond comprehension. So even before Jesus' ministry got started, he went out to where John the Baptist, his cousin, was baptizing all these people. And John recognized him, and Jesus came down there, and he wanted John to baptize him. And John's like, "Man, I'm not even good enough to tie your sandals, much less baptize you." But Jesus humbly said that that's what needed to be done. And so he let John baptize him. Even though he was a God in flesh, he still let John baptize him. I want to look at John 13:3-7. Pause. Wait for Patrick. Next time, I promise, I'll have him put in there. I was in a hurry this morning. I ran a little bit late. So John 13:3-7. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." So here is God in flesh, the creator of the world, humbling himself to put on a towel and lean down and clean people's feet. And whenever we think of cleaning feet, you know, I'm like, I clean my feet every day in the shower, no big deal. Now my kids' feet running around barefoot all the time, that's a different thing. But these guys walk down roads and stuff in sandals with all that dust and camel dung, and you know, they had to have been nasty. And Jesus is in there getting down on his hands and knees and washing these guys' feet. to teach them about servanthood. I think that's pretty cool of how humbling he can be. I also want to read for you guys Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So our superhero Jesus was so humble that he followed God's commands for him, even though he knew that it was going to lead to death. And I think that's definitely a quality of a superhero. So Jesus also lived a sinless life. After being led into the wilderness and fasting for 40 days, right after John baptized him, he went out into the wilderness and he fasted for 40 days. And then at 40 days, Satan, God's adversary, shows up and he starts tempting him. He tells him, hey, why don't you turn these stones into bread and then you can eat? And Jesus replied, do you know what he replied with? Scripture. Right? He said that man cannot live by bread alone. So in order to counteract what Satan was put on him, he knew Scripture. So he knew God's Word and what he needed to say to avoid the temptations. I wish that we were all so good at doing that. So Satan tempted him in multiple ways. Every way that we can be tempted, and he never fell for the temptations. Instead, he used Scripture and stayed pure throughout the entire temptation. 1 Peter 2:22 says, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. And John 3:5 says, you know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. So two different authors, both said that Jesus had no sin in his life. So that's number three, he had a sinless life. That's a pretty good quality for a superhero. I think that Superman and Spider-Man and many of them have done disobedient acts towards God, but Jesus never did. So number four, I think something really cool about Jesus is that he used regular guys like us. I mean, these guys weren't anything special. They were fishermen and tax collectors, and these guys weren't like qualified by any means. They didn't have a master's degree in divinity, or they didn't have a PhD in the Bible studies or anything. These were just regular guys out fishing for fish to feed people and doing regular everyday stuff. So I think it's pretty cool that Jesus was able to take just regular people, uneducated guys, and turn them into the original 12 disciples of himself that were going to go out and tell the world this good news about a Messiah that had finally come. Matthew 10:1 says, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. So you see, he took these regular guys and he gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal sicknesses. So it was by Jesus that they had anything, because just themselves they were nothing but fishermen or tax collectors. Matthew 28:19-20 says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of age. How many of you guys have seen The Promise? A lot of people have seen The Promise. Okay, so every time that I see that particular scripture right there, I can almost quote it word for word, because that's the ending line when Jesus is up there on the mountain and I hear Adam's voice in my head. And I don't think that Adam would have had a voice like Jesus, but that's what I always picture whenever I see that, is that lights going all the place and all the fog, and then this comes up. But that's what Jesus said, is he gave his disciples the authority that they needed to go out and make more disciples and spread this gospel message. My fifth reason that I believe Jesus was a superhero is he spoke with authority. He had the authority to give to his disciples, and he spoke with it. And there was this power in his voice that I don't really get how one could have that much power. And he used the power in his voice to cast out demons, right? He told them to go away. This is my right here, Mark 1:21-27. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. They're talking about Jesus. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught as he taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes. And immediately there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. He was demon-possessed. And he cried out, the demon cried out, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know that you are the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out in a loud voice, came out of him. That was just Jesus' voice talking to these demons, and they just come out of the guy. And they were all amazed, so they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. The other thing that he did with his voice, the promise comes to mind again, is whenever they were going through that storm out on the water and Jesus had stayed behind and then he came walking out on top of the water to talk to them, which, you know, how many superheroes walk on water? I guess Superman can't because he could fly. But Jesus goes walking out on water to these guys during the storm, and I'm getting stories mixed up here. But even at that time, he used his voice to call out Peter onto the boat or onto the water, and Peter was able to walk out there. But another time, whenever they were out on the water and this big storm arose in the sea and it was throwing their boat all over the place, Jesus just spoke to the storm and said to be still, and the storm immediately calmed down and obeyed just his voice, just using his voice to tell the storm to calm down, and obeyed. He raised people from the dead. How many superheroes do we know that have raised people from the dead? Like Jesus called into the tomb of Lazarus and told him to come out of there, and after 4 days of being dead, Lazarus came out of the tomb. His voice also had authority to give assurances to people. He gave people hope and a future and eternity. He gave people many different assurances that that he was the Messiah. He fulfilled many different prophecies to prove after hundreds of years that these things had been said, he fulfilled many of those to give people assurances that he was, in fact, the coming Messiah. Okay, there's also power in Jesus' touch. The power of his touch was so much, and it's also so great that the lady that had some problems for many, many, many years came up to Jesus and was able to just touch his robe, and her faith healed her because she knew what the touch of Jesus could do. He also picked up dirt from the ground and spit into it and rubbed it onto a blind guy's eyes, and the blind guy was able to see. He healed many people that were sick. He healed many people that were lame. Matthew 14:4 says, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Then Matthew 15:30 says, and great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and they put him at his feet, and he healed them. So Jesus used just his touch to do these magnificent, awesome things, healing people that had been blind from birth or lame from birth, and just his touch, the power of Jesus' touch, was able to heal those guys. Jesus was also fearless in his pursuit. This is number seven. Jesus was fearless in his pursuit of following God's will. He knew what God had planned throughout the entire time. He was God in the flesh, so he knew, but he still followed what God told him to do in order to follow him and do exactly what he said and to not sin against the Father. Luke 13:31-33 says, at that very hour some Pharisees came and said to him, get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. And he said to them, you go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go my way today and tomorrow and the following day, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. So he knew that he needed to pursue God's will, and he was going to find his way to Jerusalem where he would perish. And he lived out his days boldly following what the Father told him to do. That's something that I have a hard time with, and I think everyone else has a hard time, just being completely and totally obedient to what God calls us to do. He didn't have any kind of fears. Number eight, he sacrificed himself so that we could live. So despite people's continual sins against Jesus, the creator of everything, he's still looking at the world that we live in now, looking at the world back then, he still sacrificed himself so that we could continue to live if we believe in him. So he died for me and he also died for you. John 17, verses 1 through 5. This time I'm just pausing for dramatic effect, but it's up there. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, he's hanging on the cross at this time. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son that I may glorify you, since you have given him authority over flesh and give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know that you are the true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. That's not where he's on the cross. I wrote that down wrong. That's where he's in the garden. Okay, so number 9, he was victorious over death. This is like a big one. Jesus overcame death. Nobody else has done that within themselves. He was actually put up onto the cross, crucified, all the way until he gave up his spirit to heaven. And then 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And there is not only multiple authors from within the Bible that talk about Jesus being rose again and that he saw them, that they saw him again. There's also things written outside of the Bible by various historians of that time that knew about this Jesus that had risen from the grave. The Jews would have loved to have found his body, but they never did. So Jesus isn't the only human son of God, but he's the only one that's with God right now. There were many people that said they were the Messiah before him, but there's not any other ones that died and then rose again from the grave. So John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh, that's Jesus, and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then Jesus also said something that others haven't said, I and the Father are one, in John 10:30. And the last thing that I think makes Jesus like the big superhero, the one that we can all count on and the one that we know, is that he still fights for us. Jesus, I believe that Jesus is still alive today and that he is active and that he is at the right hand of God. So he died for once and for all for any mistakes, any disobedience that we've committed against God that we call sin. He has died once and for all of that, and then he ascended to be at his Father's right hand, and that's where I believe that he is right now, and I believe that someday he's going to come back and defeat Satan, God's adversary, and then once and for all we're going to have this perfect world the way that God intended for it to be. Last week, when we looked at as Satan, the villain of God's story, the adversary of God that was once a beautiful angel named Lucifer, that stands for bright morning star, he disobeyed God whenever he was in heaven. He decided he wanted to take God's crown and put it in his own head, and then he wanted to ascend higher than God so that he could be like God and that he could get the angels to worship him the same way that they worship God as he was creating the world. And last week we talked about how Satan's big. We all want to kind of minimize him and put him in this little bitty box and say he's no big deal. But this is an angel that went against God. He thought he had what it took to go against God, and God cast him right out of heaven. So we know that he's big, but we can't fight him alone. We're going to have a hard time avoiding all the temptations and remaining sin-free, and that's why we need Jesus. We need Jesus to help us fight these battles. We need the Word of God that we can go to and we can quote these scriptures back to Satan when he's trying to lie to us and deceive us. We need to be able to have some things that we can reply to him knowing what God said. We need Jesus to be there so that we're going to mess up. We're all messed up people throughout all time. We're going to continue to mess up, and we need this Savior that's going to allow us to be in the presence of God, because we're all fallen. We all fall short of the glory of God. This is what Jesus says in John 10:27 through 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So we know that we are Jesus' sheep. And we know that if we have Him as our Lord and Savior, then nothing can snatch us away from Him. There's nothing. Satan has no calling on us whatsoever. He has no authority on us whatsoever if we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And so we are able to live forever with God. So what have we kind of learned today? And I want to give you guys kind of two things to walk away with this morning, because most of us probably already had all these different things that make Jesus their superhero, but there's a couple of things that I think are important as we're walking out of here today to remember. But before I give you those two things, does anyone else have any qualities that I missed? Just throw something out there. Any other things that makes Jesus your superhero? Anybody? I can sit down. We're nowhere near noon yet, so. Unconditional love, that's a good one. God has unconditional love. Jesus has unconditional love for us. That He would go to the cross and die so that we could live forever. What else? Unconditional forgiveness. He's able to forgive. How many of us have a hard time forgiving people whenever they wrong us? Pretty much all of us. It's a difficult thing to do, but Jesus did it. Anything else? Come on, don't be scared. There's no wrong answers. He has what? He gives us strength. That's a good one. So through His power, we can have strength too, right? To overcome temptations. And yeah, that's a good one. Okay, so the two takeaways today is that we can trust Jesus, who is God, with anything. He's the perfect superhero. He's the sinless, the one that has been around from the very beginning of everything and will be there at the very end. And we can trust Him to be sin-free whenever He died on the cross. And then that allows us that believe in Him that we're able to live also. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but live forever." So we can trust that He is the perfect superhero, the one that's going to save us for all of eternity. And He has no kryptonite. Isn't that what it's called, what Superman has, kryptonite? I get that near him. There's no kryptonite for Him. There's nothing that can defeat Him. And He loves every one of us unconditionally. Number two, He wants us to follow His example. Man, how hard is that? Even Paul, the Apostle Paul, had a hard time figuring out how it is that he wanted to be so righteous, but yet he still kept on sinning, and he was wondering how that would be possible. So we're all going to mess up. We're going to continue to mess up. But that's what Jesus came for, is God knows that we're going to keep messing up. So He came and lived this perfect life that none of us have been able to, so that He could pay the sins there on the cross. The same way that back in the Old Testament, what they were able to do is whenever they had this, what they called the Passover, which was in Exodus, when Moses was, all these plagues were coming down on the Pharisee because Moses had been sent by God to lead the people away from there. And the very last thing that was going to happen is God was going to send the angel of death over these houses. And any of the Jews, because they told the Jews to put blood from an unblemished lamb onto their doorpost, and then the angel of death would pass over them. So that was what they did to pay so that they were covering their sins. And that's the same thing that Jesus did for us. He came here to earth to show us how to live this perfect life that we're unable to do, but since we're not, and God knew that, God said, "I'm going to have to make a way for these guys to get to me." And that's whenever He sent down God to heaven, or sent down Jesus to earth. So we can practice humility, and we can resist temptation, and we can flee from sin and fearlessly pursue God, and we can love others sacrificially. So whenever I'm looking at this, I start thinking about all that God has done and all that Jesus is. And to me, it's like miraculous that He's able to be all these different things and do these things and much more than what we even talked about today. And that's what I love studying in the New Testament is what Jesus is, what His purpose was, why He is this awesome hero that we can all count on. So this morning, I just want to pray for us to do that, and then we are going to do communion together, those of you that want to do that. Before we do, there's anybody that doesn't or wants to know more about this superhero. You may have never heard of this before, but if you want to know more about this hero that's Jesus, that did all these great things for us, I would love to talk with you and pray with you this morning. But right now I'm just going to pray for all of us, and then we will take some communion together. Dear Heavenly Father, I want you to know that I love you, and we love you, and we just come before you this morning, and we thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you for being an awesome God that sent this hero that we can believe in, that's like no other men before him and no other men after him. God, we thank you for the life that Jesus lived that was so perfect and so humble, and he was better than any hero that we can watch in movies or read about in books. Jesus was the superhero, and we thank you for him. We not only thank you for his life, but God, we thank you for his death there on the cross, that he listened to you and did your will, that he went to the cross, and that he paid the penalty for our sins. Because every one of us, God, we've all made mistakes. We all continue to make mistakes. As hard as we try not to, it's hard to avoid the temptations, and we just thank you that he's there for us. God, I just pray that if anyone doesn't know your son, that they could come to know him before this lifetime here on earth is over with. And I just ask for you to use us to minister to people inside of the church and outside of the church and everywhere that we go. You're an amazing, amazing Father. And we can't wait to spend eternity praising you. God, help us to honor you. Help us to avoid temptation. Help us to be your children and live the lives that you would have us live. Make us stronger. Make us bold. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.